for downloading the Pawneeville Ranch podcast, brought to you by the staff of the Pawneeville Ranch.
Welcome to the Pawneeville Ranch podcast. I'm Erin Brown, Pawneeville Ranch curator.
And I'm Anna Davis, Pawneeville Ranch historical interpreter.
Well, Anna, last month we talked about the different things that we do here at the ranch and the ranch today. One of the things that we did not mention was authenticating artifacts or providing people with information about their antique or their artifacts. And surprisingly, it's something that comes up pretty often
people
for us.
People come in all the time off the street with items.
Most of the time, the items that we authenticate are coming from private collectors that have purchased an item from another collector or an auction house. Items can appear on eBay, or sometimes people inherit things when a relative passes away. We can go back in our archives and match up dates, names, and other events to hopefully provide an authentication. We would like to think that every Pawneeville item out there for sale is completely authentic and the real deal, but sadly this is not the case.
Right. Now, if you go back and listen to our very first podcast on historic firearms, we interviewed David Kennedy of the Cherokee Strip and Regional Heritage Center. In that podcast, you'll find a section where we discussed with David about faking historic guns. Now, it doesn't happen often, and we don't want to scare people away from collecting, but when you're dealing with historic artifacts, it's always best to be vigilant. Recently, we've gotten a lot of questions about artifacts that have appeared on a more national stage. As the history of the Wild West becomes more popular, items start to appear on popular television shows. Of course, this always generates a lot of interest in Pawneeville. We see increase in tourists, we see increase in questions.
And that's always a good thing.
It is always a good thing. Always get interested in Pawneeville. We've had items appear recently on Antiques Roadshow on PBS, The Walking Dead on AMC, and on the History Channel. So we thought we would dedicate this podcast to an artifact that has caused some controversy. It appeared on a History Channel television show, and unfortunately the artifact has a history that's too good to be true.
In late February of 2013, we started to get a lot of comments and emails from people about an episode of the History Channel show, Pawn Stars. They were really excited to see a Pawneeville artifact on the show, and it really got our interest because we had no idea that a Pawneeville artifact was going to appear on the show. No one had contacted us, and that's always a red flag. Usually, we're one of the first people a show calls before running information related to Pawneeville.
It's called vetting information. You have to check your sources.
The episode was titled Lunch Larceny, and during the episode, a gentleman presented this pawn shop with an 1838 Colt Patterson pistol that supposedly belonged to May Lilly's father. The pistol was presented in a red leather case that had an inscription that read, "To Gordon William Lilly, Pawnee Bill, Interpreter of the Pawnee, and May Manning Lilly, from William F. Cody, Buffalo Bill." We were very surprised when the expert on the show authenticated the entire story.
No hesitation. He just said he believed the whole thing. And there were understandably a lot of red flags with the story that was presented. There was no date ever given as to when the gun was gifted to May Lilly from Buffalo Bill, and that, of course, you would assume would be very important. There was a very narrow time frame between the time when May's father died in 1903 and when the Wild West show ended in 1913. The gun case itself does not look appropriate for the kind of presentation that was supposed to have happened. In fact, the gun, when the case was open, was resting on bubble wrap. Wild West show items are usually pretty ornate, with display boxes made specifically for the occasion, like our silver tea service in the mansion. There's photographs that survive of the original presentation box. The gun case itself is not the original case the weapon would have come in. It's a red leather case that almost looks like a briefcase. The engraving on the gun looks too modern, and in the world of artifacts, just because a thing has an engraving on it does not make the story behind it true.
Historians use the word provenance to describe the chronology of ownership, custody, or location of an object. It's the history behind an object. Unfortunately, this gun and the story behind it has no provenance. How this gun, which was alleged to be a gift to May Lilly, ended up on TV screens across the country on the popular show will probably forever remain a mystery. We have many firearms in our collection that belong to Pawneeville and May, and it seems odd that a special one like this, especially one alleged to be her father's, would have ever left our collection. It's also odd that we've never heard of it before.
Yeah, there's other museums that actually have Pawneeville guns in their collection. That's not rare, but this is a pretty special kind of gun, you would think.
Yeah, and even if we don't own it, we usually have a knowledge of what is out there, either in private collections or in another museum. So we know what's out there in terms of authentic, important Pawnee Bill artifacts. Quite simply, someone was probably trying to make a little bit more money off this weapon by adding the names of Pawnee Bill, Buffalo Bill, May Lily, and a Colonel Manning. Mm-hmm. While the history behind the gun might not be true, the gun itself is really rare.
Exactly. We contacted David Kennedy again and asked him a little bit about what he knows on Colt Patterson. The Colt Patterson was Samuel Colt's first attempt at creating a commercial repeating firearm. It used a revolving cylinder with chambers that would align with a stationary barrel. The weapon was deemed a failure and actually ruined Samuel Colt's business for many years after. Because of this, less than 3,000 Colt Pattersons were manufactured, and some experts guess that less than 200 survived to modern times, so it's a rare gun. The gun was used in limited circulation by the American military. It was believed that the gun was just too fragile for the wear and tear of the military use. The main buyer of the weapon was the Republic of Texas for use in the Texas Rangers, the Texas Navy, and the Texas Militias. The firearm also saw service during the Seminole Wars in Florida in the 1830s and 1840s, as well as during the Mexican-American War in 1846 to 1848. At auction, a Colt Patterson can bring between $10,000 and $20,000 for a poor condition pistol like the one featured on the show. Pattersons in better condition have sold for as much as $1 million at auction.
So what's the truth in this matter? It's the case of two William R. Mannings, one who owned the gun and one who didn't. And it appears as though the expert in Pawn Stars just morphed the two William R. Mannings into one person. May Lily herself stated in interviews throughout her life that before she met her husband, she knew nothing about guns and that he was the one who taught her everything. Growing up in the household of a magnetic physician in the middle of Philadelphia, it's very unlikely that May had any contact with firearms. In fact, she stated she didn't. Her father, Dr. William Richard Manning, was a man with no military record and no political aspirations. He led a very quiet life before his daughter became an international star, and a very quiet life until his death in 1903. It's not likely that this gun ever belonged to him, nor is it likely that Buffalo Bill presented it to his daughter, May Lily, after his death.
Colonel William R. Manning is actually a real person, and he was the probable owner of this gun. We did a little bit of genealogical research on his side of the family and came up with some pretty interesting things that kind of made the puzzle fit for us. Colonel Manning came from a very long line of military men. His grandfather, Lieutenant Colonel Lawrence Manning Sr., served under General Henry Lee during the American Revolution. War. His father, Lawrence Manning Jr., was also Lieutenant Colonel for the United States Army. He served in Georgia, South Carolina, and Florida. Colonel Manning was most notably the commander of the 50th Georgia Volunteer Infantry for the Confederacy during the American Civil War. And it's very likely that he saw service during the Seminole Wars, which was where he would have actually come into contact with a Colt Patterson. So there he is with the gun in question. He had 10 children, one of which was actually named Mary Manning. And of course, May's real name is Mary Manning. But he passed away in 1871, which is when May would have been about 2 years old. And we know that she had a brother and a sister after she was born. So this man, of course, not related to her. He was buried in Georgia with the rest of his family. Now, these two, William R. Manning, never knew each other. They were not related. It's really just a case of mistaken identity.
We have tried to contact Pawn Stars to get more information on this situation and to explain what we know about the two William R. Mannings, but we have not received a reply back. We do not know where the gun is today. We would like this to serve as a reminder that you should always be vigilant when you're buying an antique or a historic artifact. If there are ever any questions about the history of an item, please consult an expert. This is most definitely a case of buyer beware. In this instance, the Colt Patterson is real, but the story is fake. The gun never belonged to May Lily's father.
So, what can you do to save yourself from buying a fake? It's very important to ask questions when coming into contact with any historic item, be it a gun or a simple antique. It's so easy to engrave a name on an item, and selling something that might have been worth $200 is selling worth $2,000. We see that a lot, especially with rifles. You take a really cheap rifle that would have been about the time period of Pawnee Bill, you put his name on it, and suddenly it's selling for $20,000 at auction. We see faked items, not just guns, all the time in online auction houses and private collections and in antique stores. So do not trust an inscription alone.
Exactly. And we can't stress how important it is to get a second opinion. There are experts in museums all around the United States that can offer their expertise on any given subject. A little bit of research goes a long way. Say that you have a piece of luggage that says on the outside that it belonged to Pawnee Bill. Do some research on the type of luggage it is. Find out how and when it was used. Compare dates to events that would have taken place in that person's lifetime. And most of all, trust your instincts. If you have a bad feeling about the item, it's probably best to just pass it up than be stuck with a very expensive lemon. Also, when it comes to appraisals, be aware that museums will not place a monetary value on an artifact. It's against our code of ethics. You'll have to go to an official appraiser. It's also one of my pet peeves, and probably a lot of curators across this country, to be approached by someone who is, you know, in quotations, seeking more information about this artifact that they have. And they just, they're under the guise of, you know, wanting to do research and gaining more knowledge. And then I turn around and I see that same artifact turn up in an online auction house with the tagline, authenticated by curator of Pawnee Bill Ranch. Please don't do that. It's really rude. I don't want to, you know, unknowingly help you sell an artifact. We're in the business of preserving history, not selling it.
Yeah, of course, we would like all the items to come to us so we can preserve them. We hate to see them go up for auction. And also, another thing is, don't try to make puzzle pieces fit that shouldn't fit together. If you have a bunch of similar information, there's some coincidences in there, just keep going with your research. It's better to have the whole picture than just part of the picture that's kind of mismatched. That about ends this month's topic. We have got some really interesting topics lined up for this summer. We've actually recently begun talking to other archives around the United States, and some of the things that we found we thought would make really good podcast topics.
Right. In June, we'll be talking about a series of letters we found in the University of Wyoming archive. They are from May Lilly, and she wrote them while in Europe with the Wild West shows. She sent them to her good friend, Annie Ostendorf, and we have learned not only about the show in Europe, but also we've learned about the interesting Ostendorfs. And in July and August, we will begin a two-part series on the run of the Two Bill Show. The beginning will even be told in Pawnee Bill's own words, taken straight from a document found on one of our most recent research trips to the Cowboy Hall of Fame. Until next time, I'm Erin Brown.
And I'm Anna Davis. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next time. The Pawnee Bill Ranch is owned and operated by the Oklahoma Historical Society. For more information, go to www.pawneebillranch.com or find us on Facebook under Pawnee Bill Ranch and Museum.